32, which will give us the text for our examination of Lord's Day 20 this afternoon. Isaiah chapter 32. We'll be looking specifically at verses 9 through 20, but we will read the entire chapter. Listen to the word of our God. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. A man will be as a hiding place from the wind, and a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The eyes of those who see will not be dim, and the ears of those who hear will listen. Also the heart of the rash will understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers will be ready to speak plainly. The foolish person will no longer be called generous, nor the miser said to be bountiful. For the foolish person will speak foolishness, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice ungodliness, to utter error against the Lord, to keep the hungry unsatisfied, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. Also the schemes of the schemer are evil. He plots wicked plans to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaks justice. But a generous man devises generous things, and by generosity he shall stand. And now our text. Rise up, you women who are at ease. Hear my voice, you complacent daughters. Give ear to my speech. In a year and some days you will be troubled, you complacent women. For the vintage will fail, the gathering will not come. Tremble, you women who are at ease. Be troubled, you complacent ones. Strip yourselves, make yourselves bare, and gird sackcloth on your waists. People shall mourn upon their breasts for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. On the land of my people will come up thorns and briars. Yes, on all the happy homes in the joyous city, because the palaces will be forsaken, the bustling city will be deserted, the forts and towers will become lairs forever, a joy of wild donkeys, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Though hail comes down on the forest, and the city is brought low in humiliation, blessed are you who sow beside all waters, who send out freely the feet of the ox and the donkey. So far the reading of God's holy inspired and inerrant word. We also read from Lord's Day 20 of our Heidelberg Catechism as a summary of our Christian faith to better understand the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, which we see in our text. Lord's Day 20, which you can find in your Trinity Psalter hymnals on page 880, the instructor asks us the question, what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, that the Spirit with the Father and the Son is eternal God. Second, that he is given also to me so that through true faith, he makes me share in Christ and all his benefits, comforts me, and will remain with me forever. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I remember as a young child, when I would accidentally hurt myself, I would be very scared to actually look at it. If I had grazed myself very badly, I would not want to look at it. I would show it to my parents, and then they would give me their professional diagnosis of what was wrong with me. What damage had I done to myself? Because I couldn't bear to look at it. And thankfully, the Lord in his grace never allowed me to hurt myself too badly as a kid. But as a little child, I was afraid of knowing the truth. Now, conversely, if I had actually looked at my grazed knee, I would see it wasn't that bad. Maybe as a little child, I'd be a little hysterical about it, but it wouldn't be that bad. And I would know that it wasn't that serious. But it could have been bad. We often are afraid to look at things that might actually reveal danger, fear. Give us reasons to be afraid. Give us reasons to quake. And so we don't look. We don't look at the damage on the car after hitting something. Maybe, perhaps, because we're afraid to see what it might actually have cost. But the truth is the damage is still there. And you're going to face it the next time you drive. People are naturally afraid of coming to face the truth or the lights because light reveals everything. In the reign of Hezekiah, Isaiah has been sent by God to speak to his people. And as he speaks, he calls them out and shines the light of the truth upon them that not all is well. That these fake comforts, he's not considering their own sins, he's not looking at the fact of the matter, that not everything is right in Israel. Won't save them. It won't deliver them. Fake comforts which we build to insulate ourselves from the fact that we are sinners by nature before a holy God will not comfort us in truth. For they're liars. The good news, though, we'll see in our passage, is that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. He doesn't lie, but he's the Spirit of truth who shows us the truth that we have peace with God in the language of our catechism, that we share in Christ and all his benefits, that he comforts us, and that he will remain with us forever. And so I want to minister the word of God to you under this theme, the Holy Spirit destroys false comfort and gives true comfort. And we'll see this in our passage in 3 points, our passage from Isaiah 32 in 3 points. First, a false comfort. So Israel's false comfort in their day. Second, a poured out spirit. And third, a constant comfort. So first, a false comfort. So as previously mentioned, the prophecy right before us now takes place in the reign of Hezekiah, just about a year before God will send Sennacherib, the Assyrian king, to come and invade Israel. Israel has sinned against God. Isaiah has spoken about that at length previous to this. And now Sennacherib is coming. Judgment is arriving soon. A variety of sins are bringing this judgment to pass. But among these sins, the prophet here identifies for us one in particular, complacency. In verse 9, "Rise up, you women who are at ease. Hear my voice, you complacent daughters. Give ear to my speech." Ancient armies didn't move that fast. Sennacherib's army probably was already on the march. News traveled fast, though, and so they know the judgment that is coming. It's not hidden, it's not secret, it's not off in a corner. You can almost imagine the dust clouds are on the horizon. You can almost hear it. It's a year out, but it is coming. And the people are complacent. You can imagine almost the comical image. They are lying down, sunbathing, taking it all in, enjoying their drinks, enjoying their food, relaxed, when there is a judgment coming, promised by God, from the mouth of the prophet, and they are relaxed. Our passage doesn't lay out exactly why they're relaxed explicitly, but almost certainly through the rest of the book of Isaiah, we know it's because Israel has an alliance with Egypt, with foreign nations. They have friends, and their friends will come to defend them. They are safe. The law of God has been broken. There is judgment coming, but they have friends and allies. God may bring his punishment, but we can give it up. We can be safe. It's foolishness. It's absurd there, but this is the mindset that the people of God fell into. Not wanting to reckon with the truth that the Lord their God was now against them. Not for them, because they were sinners who were unrepentant, who didn't believe the promises God was making to them. Isaiah proclaims, "Give ear to my speech, and a little more than a year, you will shudder. You will shudder." Another translation puts it, "In a year and some days, you will be troubled." They're complacent now, but God will trouble them. He will rock their world. He'll throw everything upside down. They might be complacent now. They might be enjoying the sun and the sweets of the land now, but they won't in a short time. Sennacherib will be at the gates. The land around them, in our passage, is described. It will be devastated. "In a year and some days, you will be troubled, for the vintage will fail. The gathering will not come." There's a curse against nature here. As we heard about this morning, the wine especially was a sign of God's covenant blessing. A very obvious sign will be taken away. And for a very practical reason, because Sennacherib's armies will be surrounding Israel, will be surrounding Jerusalem. They will trample down what once was the blessing of God upon his people because of their sins. Repentance is commanded, though, in verse 11 and 12. Tremble. Things aren't right with you, Israel. Things are not right. God is rightfully having his hand turned against you because you are in sin and you do not believe. You do not trust. So be afraid, tremble, repent, you women who are at ease. Be troubled, you complacent ones. Strip yourselves, make yourselves bare. Gird sackcloth on your waists. People shall mourn upon their breasts. It's the image of beating your breast in grief and in pain. People are called to repent, to look at the truth. Beloved people of God, this is really one of the messages that the church must bring to our culture, isn't it? That things are not all right with the world and its God. We have here the prophet Isaiah, and in classical prophet fashion, he brings the law. And we'll see he will bring the gospel, but he brings the law. He brings a message that says not everything is fine. We do this with our neighbors, shouldn't we? To bring them to the truth. You are not right with your God. Your lifestyle is not in accordance with his commandments. The way that you think through the issues of the day, your concept of justice, your concept of God isn't right. Whether it's atheism or a false religion, this is the message the church must bring in every age. A message of condemnation. Not without hope, though, as we'll see. Not without the promise of restoration, but the church can never be without that message that Isaiah is bringing of not everything is right. Now, this doesn't give us an excuse, of course, to be cruel or rude or mean, certainly not mean-spirited, but to point people to the light, the truth of the matter, that people are under the condemnation of God. That there is a hell, and that those who are not in Christ by true faith will go there. And our second point, though, we see the gospel message in this passage, because the promise of the Holy Spirit is given. Reading on from verse 12, people shall mourn upon their breasts for the fruitful fields, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. On the land of my people will come up thorns and briars. Yes, and all the happy homes in the joyous city. The language there is the language you should be familiar with from Genesis 3, thorns and briars. God's original curse will be poured out afresh upon Israel. Israel will be humbled. It speaks about in verse 14, the palaces being forsaken, the bustling city deserted, forts and towers where they might trust in their confidence will be made a joy of wild donkeys, a pasture of flocks. But there's an expiration date put on God's judgment. Until the Spirit is poured out. And then the wilderness that the curse of God would have made will become a fruitful field. And the fruitful field will be counted as a forest. The promise that is being made here is nothing less than what we know in the New Testament as Pentecost. That God would send the blessed third person of the Trinity. Our catechism points us to this. First, that the Spirit with the Father and the Son is eternal God. That eternal God would be sent upon the people of God, poured out upon them like water, like a rain, like a beautiful latter rain. And he would nourish the people. Sinners, broken and deceived by sin, trusting in false comforts, trusting in things that do not heal, looking for salvation and good in all the wrong places, will have the Holy Spirit poured out upon them. And the consequences of this are profound, poured out upon them, upon us from on high. And the wilderness becomes a fruitful field. Like the illustration of water. Have you ever seen in a documentary about the desert and many places in the world that when rain comes on a rare occasion, it will bloom? And it will bloom green and verdant with all sorts of flowers. That's the image here of a previous wilderness cursed by God, not good. Nourished and refreshed by God's own presence through the Spirit, made good, made new, made whole, made right with God, looking so much like the good creation, looking so much like the Garden of Eden. The wilderness will become fruitful. And the fruitful field, what appears to already have been fruitful, will be considered as a forest. It will be lush. It will be verdant. This is speaking about lives renewed. This is talking about mankind renewed and refreshed. Catechism points us to the second, he is given also to me so that through true faith, he makes me share in Christ and all his benefits. We're talking about sanctification, the renewal of the person to be more and more like Messiah, Jesus Christ, who had the Spirit poured out upon him on his baptism for his mission as the Messiah. Now for us, as Christians, we have the Spirit poured out upon us to make us more and more like him, walking in righteousness and truth, not the complacent woman of verses 9 through 14, who trust in false comforts, but ones who admit, I am a sinner. I have not done right. I have not walked perfectly with my God. But he has poured out his Spirit upon me. He has renewed me. He has forgiven me. And he is making me more and more to be like Jesus, whom I love and whom I serve in truth. The Spirit of God poured out upon us to make us share in all of his benefits. And we see the consequences of this sanctification, the setting apart, this renewal of the Spirit in verses 16 and 17 and 18. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. It's speaking about a place that was empty now filled with righteousness and justice. The place that was previously cursed, the people who previously were under the condemnation of God, now exercising those virtues, like the Messiah. At the beginning of our reading, in verse 1, it speaks about the King who will reign in righteousness. Now the Spirit is poured out upon the people of God, and the wilderness will be filled with righteousness and justice. They will be like their Messiah. They will be like this ideal King, all by the working of the Spirit poured out upon them. And the consequences for this is comfort and assurance. In verse 17, the work of righteousness will be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. A people previously under the false comfort that everything is well, now shaken awake to that fact, but given the Spirit so that they might be quieted, comforted, knowing that they have peace with their God. Because the Spirit has been given to them in the words of our catechism, and he comforts me. And he will be remain with me forever. This is the work that Christ does in our souls to make us righteous, people of justice, but assured and quiet. Like the words of Psalm 131, I have quieted my soul as a child at its mother's breast, given assurance. And then there's a promise. Because the Spirit has been poured out upon the people in verse 18, the people of God will dwell in peaceful habitation and secure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Though hail comes down on the forest and the city is brought low in humiliation. Commentators differ in verse 19 as to if this is referring to destruction upon Assyria or the destruction that will happen to Israel. But either way, even though there will be destruction, there will be wars and rumors of wars, there will be tribulation, there will be pain, they will still have quiet, secure dwellings, resting places. Like sheep in green pastures, well taken care of by their shepherd. And the shepherd and pastoral imagery appears in verse 20. Blessed are you who sow beside all waters, who send out freely the feed of the ox and the donkey. And we can easily skip over that verse, but again, think of this. This is referring to shepherds letting out their animals to wander freely, under their supervision, but freely. To a city that will soon be surrounded by their enemies. Blessed are you who sow beside all waters. A besieged city doesn't have rivers that they can sow beside or fields that they can sow beside. You don't farm during a siege. Likewise, animals being set out free to frolic is a promise of the restoration here. That even though for a time there might be pain and suffering, there will be forgiveness, reconciliation, and restoration. Though hail comes down on the forest, we will have secure dwelling places and quiet resting places. For Christians who have the Holy Spirit, we can walk through life with all of its trials, whatever it might be, the chastening of the Lord for disobedience. Providential pains, diseases, sicknesses, and we can still have that quiet resting place that the Lord has poured out his Spirit upon me, that I am at peace with my God, that I am being restored every day to be more and more like the righteous King who reigns in righteousness. To be his child, not only by his declaration, but in truth, be like his child. Beloved congregation, the promises that God makes to us in the Spirit of Christ are wonderful. We will be like him. We have peace because of him. And his Spirit is a guarantee to us that this is so. No matter what we go through, whatever pains we might go through, we can know for certain, my people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and Almighty God, we come to you in prayer and we ask, Lord, that you would pour out your blessing upon us. Your Holy Spirit given to your church to comfort and sustain her. May we be filled with your Spirit so that, Lord, walking in your way, we may know your peace, we may know your joy. Heavenly Father, thank you that he shall never depart from us, but we be with us always. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.